Good morning, Abbasai. Welcome to our Sunday morning Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer Shir. We are beginning a brand new siman, and we might even be able to finish it today. It's a very short siman, and it's a very fascinating siman, and for better or for worse, it's actually very halach l'maisa in specific instances. The sugya that we're going to talk about today is the sugya of katlanis, a woman who's, we'll have to see how many, a number of her husbands have died. Is she allowed to get married to yet another husband, or is it too dangerous to the next husband because she has a history of, I don't want to use the word killing in the verb form, but she has a habit of killing her previous husbands. Not murdering, but her previous husbands have died. So what we're going to do is we're going to see the background, the sugya that you're probably familiar with in various iterations of the sugya of different forms of chazaka, how many it takes to make somebody a muchzak, that it's a sakana for her to remarry. And then we'll get into the lamdas of what is the lamdas of katlanis, and we'll hopefully get to the Shulchan Aruch after seeing a number of the machlokes rishonim, how we apply, and let us begin. The Gemara, the sugya starts in Yevamis, Samach Dalet Amud Beis. Samach Dalet Amud Beis, says the Gemara, not really talking about katlanis, talking about bris mila. Mala harishon v'meis, Shani v'meis. So if you give a bris milah to the first child of the family, the second child of the family, and both boys die. Shlishi lo tamul divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that you don't give a bris to any more of the children because the two children who died, let's call it, assume there was hemophilia, that sets a chazaka as this family being hemophiliacs, and therefore after two, you already have a chazaka of danger to give a bris milah and do not do any more, so you created a chazaka with two times. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, Shlishi Tamal, the third baby you do give a bris milah to, even though his elder two brothers perished during the bris milah. Revi lo Tamal. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that a chazak is only created with three times, and therefore it's only the after it has been created with three times that the baby died, the fourth baby will not get a bris milah. Emar de pligi linyan milah. Maybe this machlokas is only by milah. Binisum mi pligi. Maybe for marriage, in terms of a katlanis, should we say the same machlokas applies? Says the Gemara, in yes, indeed. Just like we have machlokas, Rebbe, who says two is a chazaka, and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says three is a chazaka, and it's only the fourth whom you can't give a bris milah to, the same halach will apply to a katlanis, as it says in the following braisa. Tanya, nises larishon v'meis, sheni v'meis. She married two husbands. They both died. L'shlishi lo tinas. He will not let her get married to a third husband. That's Rebbe. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel omer l'shlishi tinas. She could get married to the third husband because the chazaka is only created with three instances. However, l'revi lo tinas. So the Gemara says, wait a second. I mentioned in passing that there's a reason why a child might have a genetic predisposition to hemophilia. I understand that in the case of bris milah, there's some that could be in the family that presents an elevated risk. Bishlam el gabi milah will say there's a chazaka. Don't give a bris milah to the further children if you had bad experiences with the first two or three. Ika mishpacha derafi dama. Vika mishpacha dekamitama. There's some families that have issues with their blood without getting into however Rashi might translate those two words. Not really important to me. Let's just assume maybe there's a family that has hemophilia. I understand that if you have proven twice or three times that a family has some kind of disease, that they die from bris milah, you shouldn't do it to the next kid. I understand that. Eleni suin, my taima. What's the reason that if a woman, you know, why should a woman have the capacity to, you know, cause her husband to die? What does the woman have anything to do with her husband? So the Gemara is going to have two explanations, and these two explanations are going to be important. What they'll mean exactly might take us a little time to understand. Says the Gemara, you know why we'll apply the same rule of hemophilia to an Isha in her marriage, to a Katlanis, that she can't marry if she caused her husbands to, prefers two or three husbands to die? I'll tell you why. Hachi Amar Avim Mehagroni Meshmeid Rav Huna Ma'ayon Goreim. Ma'ayon Goreim. Her ma'ayon, which is, let's say, her womb, her body, by the husband being with his wife, somehow that inflicts, we could call it in modern day, it would be called an STD, some kind of disease that is transferred through the Maisabiyah, and that disease that she has in her Mayan, her Mayan is the lower part of her body, that by his interacting with that, he will catch that disease. And maybe if she had a husband who died and another husband who died, maybe they died from STDs, from sexually transmitted diseases, and we are to be concerned that maybe the third husband or the fourth husband will die from the same exact type of STD. That's Avimi's suggestion. Very modern perspective. Rav Ashi Amar Mazel Garam. Well, let's see what that word mazel means. Sounds a little bit less scientific, doesn't it? Her mazel, it's her mazel to kill husbands. It's her mazel that her husbands died. Her mazel that she's to be an almana. I just said two different things. I don't know if you noticed. One thing I said is it's her mazel to kill husbands. Another is that her mazel is to be an almana. Those are two different things. We'll have to see which one is correct. And we'll have to see what I meant by those two different formulations. Yeah, doctor.
What is the shita? Rebbe says after two we shouldn't. We are all over chazakas after three. Where does he get this idea that after two?
Because all over, you're assuming like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. But guess what? All over, right. According to Rebbe, chazaka is two. Rebbe holds that chazaka is two all over. We're going to see. Wait till you see how we paskin. You're going to be very surprised. You're going to be very, very, very surprised when we see how we paskin. You're going to be very surprised. So hold on a few minutes. So the Gemara just told us that there are
also
two...
The terminology we use is Isha Katlanis, a murdering woman, not a burying woman, but a Katlanis. We're sort of assigning her a role in this.
100%. Maya, she's... At no point ever today will we say that we assume that she took a knife and slit her husband's throat or anything like that. We're just worried that her interaction with her husband will cause him to be killed, either because she's carrying a disease, that's what it means Mayan Gorim, as you'll see the Shana will explain like this. Mayan Gorim means she carries a disease and she's transferred to her husband through the Bia. And Rav Ashi says this Mazel Gorim. So we'll see what they mean a little bit later. May be Nayhu. What's the nafkamina? There's a Lamdasha Gemara. What's the nafkamina between these two svaras that the Gemara presented, asks the Gemara. It says the Gemara, I'll tell you. Let's say there was a death that was caused, and you know that it wasn't from an STD. I'll give you two examples. Number one, they never had relations because she's only an arusa. Oh, they're married. She needs a get. Maybe there's even a ksuva. An arusa is an eishes ish. An arusa causes, has a regular din of eishes ish. But there was never a bia. How could you say that she killed him because of an STD? They never had bia. They were never together. She was living in her family's house. He was living in his family's house. There can't be an STD that caused him to die. So there's no sexually transmitted disease because there was no bia. So, but maybe it's her mazel. Her mazel is that her husbands die. That's her mazel. So maybe if you hold that it's mayim goreim, an arusa will not have a din of katlanis. If you hold that mazel goram, so an arusa can have a din of katlanis. That's one nafkamina. Inami says, continues the Gemara, another nafkamina is if we saw how he died. He died because he fell off a ladder. The nafal midikla, he fell off a tree, vimis, and died. He died because of a car crash. So if you hold that it's the katlanis's power to kill her husband, for which we need to be worried about and concerned about and prevented from marrying again, is because she transmits communicable diseases. Well, if he died because he fell off a ladder or fell off a roof or fell off a tree, obviously it has nothing to do with her. On the other hand, if we assume that it's she, that her husband's died because her mazel, whatever that word means, which we will define later, because her mazel causes it, well, her mazel is that her husband's die. He could die in car accidents, they could die in falling off trees and houses and anything else that would be applied in any accident kind of death also. We'd also attribute it to her because it's her mazel. And we don't want any other man to be stuck with a woman who has this kind of mazel. Okay. So that was the two svaras that we have to figure out how we paskin, because we have very significant nafkaminas. We just said that if you hold, let's say again, you have a woman whose first husband died in a car accident, Rahman Litzlan, whose second husband died in a car accident, or, I don't know, fell off a tree. Or maybe he died from a disease, but it's only one man who dies from a disease. The other was killed in a car accident or fell down the stairs. Rahman al-Islam. So according, which opinion are you going to hold like? If you're going to hold that mazel garab, she's a katlanis. If you hold that it's because of a disease, so unless you have two, or according to the other opinion, three husbands who died from a disease that we contribute to her and his relationship to her, then only in that case will you consider her a katlanis and off limits to marry further. Okay, so that we're going to have to figure out, like, which svara we paskin, which was actually machlokes amoram, if you remember. It was Avimi against Rav Ashi. So we're going to have to see, like, whom we paskin, because it's a very significant nafkamina. The Gemara doesn't paskin. We'll have to see.
Now, how soon after the marriage does the husband have to die?
Any point. What let me explain what Dr. Jared's asking. Let's say you have a husband and wife are married for 60 years in great joy and bliss. When he turned 89, he died. And she's, let's say, I don't know, a little bit younger than him. She gets remarried, and her husband is, I don't know, she's, let's say, 85, and she marries a guy who's 91. And lo and behold, when he turns 93, he died. Okay, at this point, she's about 88, 87, 88, and she marries a guy who's 95 years old. The 95-year-old lives in a joyous, happy, blissful marriage till he's 98 and a half, and he drops dead when he's 98 and a half. So Dr. Jarrett's asking, oh, so she's a katlanis? They died from natural old age. Or will we say no? Three husbands died, three up, three down. You know what it's like? You know what it's like in pitching, and you have an inning with three batters, three up, three down. You're in trouble. So maybe we won't let her marry. We're going to have to answer that question at the very end of today's Shia, Dr. Jarrett. We'll see.
Well, what I'm asking, it's a little more medical. So if we look at the STDs, obviously before the HIV era, so we were primarily talking about syphilis, and the later stages in syphilis can cause a person to lose their mind and eventually cause death. But that is not instantaneous. It's years until something like that can develop.
Fascinating.
So again, I assume that that is I assume that that's a concern, because some of the other sexually transmitted diseases are not fatal. Again, in the pre-HIV era.
Okay, so I assume that I have not seen any difference in any posek that I've seen in my preparation for today's shiur who gave a time frame of how fast it happened and how much into the marriage. So it could be one was married for 5-10 years. And then he died, another married for another 10 years, and then he died, another was married for another 10 years, and then he died. That would be equally a katlanis.
Got it.
Okay, great. Now we have the other question, which relates back to what Yossi Sonnenblick asked a few minutes ago. How do we paskin? Two or three? It was machlokas. Ba'amin Eir Rav Yosef. Halacha k'Rebbe? Is the halacha like Rebbe, who says that even two husbands who died render a woman a katlanis, because we consider a chazaka after two? Amalei in. Yep. Chazaka is after two. That's a big chumrah, right? Two husbands die. That's already a chazaka. She already has the status of a katlanis and can never have a third marriage. Do any of you know a woman who was married three times? Is it only because there was a divorce? Or is there a woman who was married twice, to two husbands died, and married a third husband? Okay, let's think about that. Okay.
Yeah, my mother.
Okay, there we go. There we go. So we're going to have to figure out what to deal with this. You had a lot of shilas halach levaisa, Mr. Berg, in the past 2 weeks. Okay.
You remember.
Look at this gemara. This gemara is a very funny gemara. Is the halach like Rabbi, who says two? I'm really in. Yep. Is the halach like Shimbeg and Leo says three? That one only that you only have a chazak after three times? I'm really in. Yes. Do you hear what he just said? I just asked, do we pass like Beishami? Yes. Do we pass like Pesil? Yes. You can't pass like Beishami Pesil. You can't pass in that it's two, and also pass like the pin that says three. Which one? Achuche Achuchbi, are you playing games with me? Amalila, I'm not playing games with you. Let me explain what I mean, why I said that we've passed like Rebbe, that a chazaka happens after two occurrences, and we also pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says a chazaka occurs after three occurrences. Let me explain what I meant. Lo, stamihi. Upashit lach, I will clarify what I meant as follows. Nisunu Malkos Kerebi. Vestos Shahamuad Kerebon Shimben Gamliel. There are different types of shilas, and in different types of shilas, we have a different psak of two or three times, whether chazaka is created with two or three times. When we're worried about some kind of sakana or danger, we are going to err on the side of caution. We don't want any more men to die. And therefore, if we have a situation where we don't know how to paskin, we have machlokas tanaim, Rabbi and Rav Shimon Gamliel, whether two deaths create a chazak or three deaths create a chazak, we're going to err on the side of caution, and we're going to assume that we better be more careful, and after even two deaths, we'll consider her a sakana. However, how many times does a shor hamu'ud have to gore in order to render him as a muchzak, to have a chazakah of a shor hamu'ud? There's no danger, it's just how much is going to be paid. So there, for other areas in halacha, we're going to assume a chazakah occurs after three times. And therefore, Yossi Sonnenblick, this is the answer to your question. Hold on. When do we say chazak is two? Whenever there's a danger involved. For example, hemophilia or katlanis. When do we say chazak is three? If you want to know where you sit, if you're makam kavu after three times, or if you're shramur, how much to pay, that you need three times. And that's when we have a two-time chazaka or a three-time chazaka. Yeah.
It's not only how much you have to pay by shor hamu'ud. It's if the shor is a shor hamu'ud, then the owner is going to be more careful. People are not going to get hurt because he knows he has a shor hamu'ud. So it's a question of koch nefesh too.
Yeah, it's a little bit stretched. A little bit stretched.
Well, yeah, you kill a shor hamu'ud.
But not a person. It's not a person. That's a financial loss. It's not a we love oxen, but oxen are not people. Just like the recent court ruling that Hippo Happy the elephant is not a human being, so halacha is in accordance with that precedent, Your Honor. Okay, for those who know the current events. Okay, we finished the Gemara. Now let's begin how the Rishonim look at this. Let me ask you a question. I just told you that for purposes of danger, like a katlanis, we will consider her to be muchzak to kill her husbands after only two times, because we want to save that third life. Okay, so here you have a woman whose two husbands her first two husbands die. Listen to what happens. She now gets married to a third husband. Let me rephrase that. She now gets married to a third husband. Should she have married him? Probably not. Will she collect her ksuva? What's my question? Well, for the purposes of marriage, we would not want her to marry a third person. It's too dangerous for him to marry. She's dangerous. But for the purpose of the ksuva, does she lose a ksuva, which is a financial thing? Is she considered a katlanis for financial purposes? After only two times, maybe she has to kill three men in order to have a financial application to the ksuva. Ksuva is a funny thing. On one hand, it's a function of her being a katlanis that she wouldn't get a ksuva. You know, if a man marries a woman who's a katlanis and she didn't tell, you know, she didn't disclose that she was a katlanis, he goes going out with a woman and they fall in love or whatever else, and they get married. And by the way, you know, after they're married for like a few months, she said, I was married a few times before. And he says, oh, what happened to them? Oh, yeah, they died from STDs. Okay, I'm out of here. So she says, okay, fine, but you wrote me $1 million in my ksuva. So what is he going to say?
Ksuva, that it shouldn't be kala hotzia. And here we want to be encouraged. And maybe we want to encourage
Interesting. Okay, maybe I dramatized it wrong. Maybe, okay, interesting. Let's see what the Rush says. Says the Rush, Afal Gav. This is the Russian Ksuvis Perek Dalet Siman Gimel. Afal Gav the Savar Hachtana Rebbe. Even though when it comes to Katlanis, we paskin like Rebbe that a Chazaka has been created with two deaths of her husbands. Detrei Zimnei Havi Chazaka Midukamer Lishlish Lo Tinase. Afilu Hachi Yesh L'Ksuvim Hasheni. Okay, so he didn't present it properly. Here he's talking about the Ksuvah from the second husband. V'tayma, til inyan mamon lo samchina na chazaka de tre zimni. Adiz chazik begimol, kida ashkam shor hamu'ud. There is a distinction katlanis and the concern to not marry another man to save his life, to protect his life, similarly not to give a bris milah to protect a baby's life, that we will follow chazaka with two. But to lose the ksuva, she only has a chazaka, a din of katlanis that would lose a ksuva after three. Okay. Next point. What happens if this woman got married to the third husband? She wasn't supposed to after two deaths. She's not supposed to marry a third husband. She did. So I have questions on a few people. If the guy is halachically upstanding, should he file for divorce? Maybe he knew about it. Maybe he didn't know about it. Maybe he only found out about this halach of katlanis after he's married to her. Maybe he became a Baal Tshuva. Maybe he knew about it, but didn't care about it. And then he becomes frumer later in the middle of the marriage. Maybe now he realizes I should not be married to him. Maybe the Beis Din should get involved, because the Beis Din has the responsibility to maintain the health of its community. And if you have a person who is living in a danger zone, it's the Beis Din's responsibility to evacuate that person. If this husband is living with this dangerous woman who has a habit of killing her husbands, so maybe the Beis Din has to force him to leave, should extricate him from this danger zone of this marriage to this woman.
He's already had all the exposure.
Mazel works. I don't know how STD comes and goes. I don't know. So let's see what the Rush paskins. The Yirah says the Rush. Shekofin oso lahotzi. Not only do we encourage this third husband who should not have married her to be motzi, but we force him, we extricate him, we force him out of the marriage. Why? The famous three words, dechamira sakanta meisura. The Torah is more concerned with danger than it is with halacha. It's not just a matter of, are they allowed to be married? It's a matter of, even if normally somebody's not allowed to be married, will we force them out? Maybe not. If a mamzer would marry mamzeres, are we going to force them out? I'm sorry, if a mamzer marries a regular woman, will we force to break up the marriage? I don't know what the Beis Din will do. They're married by Isser. But you know what? If you're married to someone to whom it's dangerous to be married, then the Beis Din will get involved. They'll be kofin lahotzi. U'kmosh mechuyavin Beis Din lahafrish es ha'adam en aveira, kach mechuyavin lahafrisha shelo yipasha ben afsho. What an incredible, broad, striking line of the Rush. Just like Beis Din has an obligation to make sure that people don't violate aveiras, they equally have to make sure that people don't do things that are dangerous.
So the idea of the nanny state existed in the Russian time also then.
Of a nanny state?
Yeah, that's what they call an American government now, trying to protect everybody from every possible thing wrong. The nanny
state. So you have to figure out what is considered a danger and what's not considered a danger. Being in this case that the first two husbands died, in the Russian's eyes, is considered a danger that the third husband might die. Meaning, would a Jewish Beis Din say that you have to wear a helmet when you ride a bicycle? Would a Jewish Beis Din say that you have to get the COVID vaccine? Would a Jewish state say, a Beis Din say that you have to put on your seatbelts? So if you wanted to write an essay about this or an article about this, this would be a Rush that you should quote. I'm not saying yes, no, maybe to any of those. You have to figure out the percentages and the levels of risk. But here you see that it is the Beis Din's responsibility not just to stick their noses in the Gemara and leave it there, but they have to be worried about the health and welfare of Klal Yisrael to the point that they could break apart a marriage because it's medically dangerous, or according to Mazel, whatever the word Mazel is, it's some other kind of dangerous to be married to this woman. Fine. And how do we paskin? We paskin that it's two times when it comes to Katlanis, and the Rush just paskin halacha maisa, two times. Cannot marry, if two husbands died, she cannot marry a third husband. And not only that, but if she marries a third husband, Beis Din will break that third marriage apart to protect the third husband. Now, the Karban Nisan along this Rush raises a very simple question. Very simple question. We have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that tells us all the cases where Beis Din swoops down and breaks up a marriage. All the cases, that's Kofen Oso Lahotzi. And guess what? Asks the Karban Nisan. Katlanis is not in that list. This case is not on that list. Kasha. Amai lo chashim, and so per kamadir, maybe it's daf ayin zayin. I'm sorry, maybe it's ksuv, it's not a vodazor. Why isn't this listed? Im osan sheshanina sham, she'elo kofen oso lahotzi. How come it's not in the list? of people who you break the marriages up. If you're telling me, Mr. Rush, Rabbi Rush, that a katlanis is one of the situations for whom we should, if you married a katlanis be'isser, for the third husband, we break them apart. How come it's not on the list in the Gemara when the Gemara lists off all the cases whom we, all the marriages whom we break up, that we break up? Keep that question in mind for the next shita we're about to learn. Comes the Rambam and addresses our sugya. What's the psak of the Rambam about katlanis? How many? What do we do if they did get married? Says the Rambam, Yisrui Bia Halacha Perek Chaf Aleph, towards the very end of Chaf Aleph, Halacha Lamed Aleph, Isha Shaniseis L'Shnei Anashim V'Mesu. Two men die. Paskins the Rambam, L'Shlishi Lo Tinasei. He's also Machmir when it comes to Pikach Nefesh, that two husbands' death is enough to prevent her, to make her Katlanis, and prevent her from marrying a third. But look at the next three words. V'im Niseis Lotetzei. If a katlanis married a man, that marriage can remain intact. We will not tell them, we won't force the marriage apart, but he doesn't even have a chiyuv to divorce her. Not only that, he takes it to the next step. Let's say that third husband, who shouldn't get married, did a kiddushin to this girl. He never even did nisun, he never even moved in with her. He just gave her a ring and said, I'll meet you in a year and we'll move in together. Even then, they're allowed to get married. Afil niskadshu yichnos. Wow. You see the Rambam, although he agrees that after two times she's a katlanis and you should not marry such a woman, but if there was a marriage, or even a kiddushin for that matter, they could stay married. Leave it as is. Why? Why are we worried about the danger? Right? You remember the Rush said, we're going to swoop in and save this guy from an impending death, God forbid. Why don't we save him? Why don't we even tell him to leave? Forget about it. You don't want to break it off, fine. But at least tell him to leave. Says the Magen Mishnah, because this din of katlanis is a din midrabanan. V'atam she'ein lahosif al gzeiros shel devrayim, ela masha kosfu heim beferish. This din of katlanis is a fabrication of Chazal. That they created this category called katlanis. Yeah, they're worried about pikuach nefesh, but it's not like you're, you know, when you marry a katlanis, it's not like you're jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. You're marrying a woman who, yeah, she did, you know, she has a history of having husbands who die, and we're worried about, you know, either mayon gorim, STDs, or worried about mazel, whatever that means, which we didn't see yet. But it's not that it's a dangerous activity to marry this woman. She's a regular woman, he's a regular man, they're getting married. But the rabbi said, it's Chazal. And Chazal says the Magen Mishnah, Chazal said, the way that Chazal said it, look at what the Magen Mishnah writes, lo tinase, don't get married. That means don't get married. But if you're married already, it doesn't say anywhere in Shas that you have to be motzi. And furthermore, says the Magen Mishnah, he relates to the question that we saw from the Korban Nisanal on the Rush. Remember, the Rush says, Kofano Solohotzi. And the Korban Nisanal says, how come it's not on the list of Kofano Solohotzi? Says the Magen Mishnah, that's exactly why the Rambam says, you don't have to eat Kofano Lohotzi. When Chazal talk about this, the people whom we have to break up their marriages, it doesn't list the katlanis. So it sounds like you don't have to break up such a marriage. So the Rambam saw from the omission of katlanis from these lists that if they did get married, okay, let them stay married. Rabbo, so what we have here is a raging machlokas between the Rush and the Rambam. The machlokas is if the katlanis did get married, do they stay together, or do we separate them, either asking them or forcing them? The Rush says, not only do you tell them to get divorced, but we'll force them to divorce for safety reasons. And the Rambam says, they shouldn't have gotten married in the first place, but if they did, leave it. Leave it. Who do we paskin like? It's a big shaila. Comes a Kesef Mishnah, and he tells you who we paskin like. V'harivash kasev, says the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam, Shadas Rabbeinu Nachon, the Rambam is right, and you're not going to break this marriage apart. Not only that, but let's say they even warn, it's not that the guy had the wool pulled over his eyes and she didn't disclose. You know, sometimes when I have people come to me, you know, young couples come to me to sign their marriage license, they come in, you know, usually, a week, 2 weeks before their wedding, a few weeks after their wedding, they bring me the marriage license. and I fill in the forms, and you have two witnesses here, and it says, you know, name, you know, a maiden name, and previous marriages, death, divorce. So I always look at the girl and said, you know, jokingly, you know, she doesn't realize that I'm joking. I said, you know that he's married, that he was married twice before. Like, or I tell him, like, you know that she's been married once before. And there's always like an awkward moment of silence, and then they burst out laughing. So let's say they didn't disclose. Okay, they didn't disclose. I understand. He got married unwittingly, so we're not going to break up the marriage. But let's say the Bezdin said, this woman is a katlanis, you cannot marry her. And he sent out the invitation to the Vart. And Bezdin said again, Vart or no Vart, you cannot marry her. And they sent out an invitation to the wedding. Bezdin said again, you cannot marry her. And they got married. Says the Rivash, we still will allow him to stay married. We will still pass like the Rambam who allows him to stay married. Varivash kosher das raven nachon, vevisand varvikos da filim hisru bo Bezdin vehimres peyipiem. Even if he defied the words of Bezdin who said, don't marry this woman, it's usher. Derabanan. There's an isser of katlanus to marry this woman. Okay, in kafana salahotzi. Okay. Now, look at what the Kesef Mishnah quotes from a Rambam in the Tshuvas. The Rambam, what is the nature of this Isser of marrying a Katlanis? Is it heebie-jeebie? Is it halachic, you know, chazaka, and therefore we assume it's going to happen? It has statistical probability. Is it a mysterious kind of, you know, the way I was explaining my ongoing that it's an STD, that we have a concern that she has a communicable disease. Maybe I was overstepping my bounds when I spoke like that. Why would the Rambam, if we're really worried about an STD, why would the Rambam say they can stay married? I think it's dangerous. Look what the Kesef Mishnah quotes from a Rambam in the Tshuvos, not the Rambam in the Halachas, but the quotes a Rambam in a Tshuva. Katlanis, he's quoting the Rambam here. Look what I have highlighted. Katlanis ain bo iser. There's no halachic iser in marrying a katlanis. Aval hu meruchak, she is somebody who should be distanced al tzad hanichush. What does that mean? V'hapachad. V'hatimahon, sheyesh brof hashos, shenizku b'hem hagufos hachaloshim. The Rambam sounds like it's either a people, it's something that should avoid because people are scared of it, or there's a heebie-jeebie thing, or it's some kind of hocus-pocus. The Rambam sounds like it's not real an STD. It's something that's not an real isser. The rabbi said avoid it because it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing. Avoid it. The weak people could be killed for, you know, weak people could be affected by these kinds of, you know, mysterious forces of a Katlanis forces. But it's not a real isser. So therefore, it's not a real isser. Of course, we're not going to make him get divorced if he did. Because it's not even usser. According to the Rush says it's super usser. It's worse than usser. It's mamash a sakana. The Rambam is saying that it's just like a heebie-jeebie thing. You know, people ask me, you know, what happens if you have an ufruf and they didn't throw the candies? They allowed to stay married? They didn't throw the candies at the ufruf. I don't know. I don't know if the kiddushin was chal. Does she get a ksuv if they didn't throw candies at the ufruf? So, you know, it's a good shayla, taka. Do we have to be worried? Is there a chshash that maybe it's not going to be all the zir, it won't be all the yafezain? Should we be worried? That's exactly what Rambam says. That's what Katlana says. It's like they didn't throw the candies at the, you know, people are worried when they walk down with the chassan and kala, walk down the mother and father on the side, carry the candles down the aisle. And oy vey, if the candle blows out, oy vey, if the candle blows out, this marriage is doomed, right? You know, come on, give me a break. So that's what Rambam says. That's exactly what Katlana says. Like the candles blew out while they were walking down to the chuppah. Don't worry about it. You can get married. You give it. If any of you know a person who, while they're walking down the chuppah and a candle blew out, tell them they could go ahead and still get married. That's what the Rambam says. Okay, here, I mean, a katlan is you should avoid, you should not get married, but it's a heebie-jeebie thing.
Well, I can understand the Rambam, the rationalist, he wouldn't care about the mazel, but I'm surprised he, as a doctor, didn't care about the first, if it was any other moral, was STD.
Apparently, let's look at what the Rambam is holding. from the fact, let's work backwards, from the fact that, this is what I think is happening, from the fact that the Rambam sees in Shas, that there are many people who marry Be'isr, and because they married Be'isr, we force them to separate. And this is not in that list. From there, perhaps, the Rambam deduced that there is no Isr to marry, it's just Chachamim giving us an Eitzah Tova to avoid marrying this woman. If you didn't listen to the Chachamim, that wasn't smart, it was a little stupid, but we can't, you didn't violate an Isr. And that's why the Rambam says it's not an Isr. Apparently, he holds it's not a real sakana. It's a, again, it's an amorphous type of heebie-jeebie, you know, Mayon Gorim, you know, I don't know if he, again, identified it as an STD like I said it. I was trying to make it very contemporary, very, you know, sometimes I dramatize things a little too much to make a point, and it ends up biting me afterwards. I don't know if the Gemara, when the Gemara says Mayon Gorim, I don't really know if it means an STD. But we're
I never viewed this as something like an STD. I mean, consider the following situation. A couple is married for 10 years. He divorces her. A month later, he dies of tertiary syphilis. She marries another guy they're married for 10 years. She divorces him. A month later, he dies of tertiary syphilis. This lady ain't a Katlanis.
That's
right?
Correct. You're right.
Because they weren't married at the time.
That's
I always understood that there was something sort of that went on in the bedroom. There was a high-risk behavior. You know, like 30 years ago, this asphyxiation was a hot topic. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, there was a boy in YU who died, maybe more. So I was always viewing it as something that happened when they were together, something bizarre, and that was something that was a high-risk behavior.
You mean she might have killed him?
Well, not that she killed him, but, you know, in the moment, they did something to enhance their pleasure that might have been a bit excessive. That's always been the way I thought of it.
That could be what my angle. That could be.
Because this predates, because I don't think they understood STDs.
Of
and by
course,
the way, the
right.
male-to-female transmission is much more likely than female-to-male.
Right. So that's going to be a very important shaila when we discuss
the opposite
shaila. Yes. What happens?
STDs as far as Fakir. So I never thought of this as an STD type
thing. Let me just explain what you're saying. The Shiloh that Dr. Jared is saying, that if we're worried that there's a transmission of disease through the Maisabia, what should be the situation if a husband killed two wives? Could a third woman marry this husband? Do we say only a Katlan is, or what about a Katlan? Are we going to be, you know, chauvinistic in this area of halacha as well? What happens is if a man married a woman, she died. Man married a second woman, she died. Are we going to say a man's not allowed to marry a third woman? After all, maybe there's some STD happening. And Dr. Jared's pointed out that oftentimes the STD will go in that direction, to come from the man to the woman more, you know, from a medical perspective, more likeliness. We're going to see that in a few minutes. Okay, but either way, what we just saw is, according to the Rambam, coming back to our show, the Rambam says that this katlanis is not an iser. And therefore, that's why maybe the Rambam understands Chazal never said you have to break up such a marriage. And that's why if they did get married, even being warned not to get married in the first place, they can stay happily married. If he's not freaked out, if he's not nervous, they can stay married. Fine. Not only that, continues the Rambam and says, look at this. This is really, look at the Rambam taking this to the bank. V'afal pi she'esh chacham she'som shelo tinasei. Even though, you know, the rabbis say, don't get married, you know what we whispered to this girl? You know what we whispered to her? If you find a guy who's willing to marry you, even though you have a little bit of a murky history, we're not going to make him divorce you. And you know what they would do? They would play some game where they would plant two edim and a guy would give her a ring. And once there's a kedusha, then... the Rambam holds, once there's a kedusha, then you go ahead with it. They would literally set up a situation to enable this. Again, you know, sometimes you have a halacha that on the books, we don't do this. But there are exceptions. And whenever you need to use an exception, you make an exception. Right? It's like, I can't think of an example. You know, one of those halachas, one of those rules that there's a rule, but you make an exception for anyone who asks. And that's what they would do. V'chach hayu osen, says the Rambam in the Tshuva, Bezdin shel Rabbeinu Yitzchok b'al halachos, u'Bezdin shel Rabbeinu Yosef ha'Levi tamido. I'm not sure who those are. V'chol ba machrim v'chein osem anachro b'mitzrayim, lahatir. You see what the Rambam is writing in the Tshuva? that halacha l'maisa, you know what we do in Egypt where the rabbi was the rav? We basically ignore this halacha of katlanis. And we set it up, again, we officially hold from the katlanis, but we let her know that if you're going out with a guy, I know you already killed two husbands, but if you're going out with a guy and he likes you, you know, you can have him marry, you could have him do a kedushin with two eidim there, and maybe don't invite me, I won't be there, don't invite the rabbi, but it will work. Once it works, and the kedushin was chal, then you could go ahead and get fully married. And that's what the Rambam says. We did it in Mitzrayim. They married off katlanises. Wild. But again, the Rambam holds it's not a real sakana, and it's not even an iser. Okay. Do we pass him like that? Is this all a game? Is this just a smoke, what do they call it? A smoke something?
Smoke and mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors? Is that all it is? Okay. Now, before we finish this segment, before we get to the Shulchan Aruch, we have to address one word that I never explained. This phantom word, mazel. The Gemara had two possibilities of why you can't marry a katlanis. One is because mayon agorai made some kind of STD or some kind of something happened between the two of them, something related to her body that was transmitted to him, or mazel. That was the other opinion in the Gemara. Mazel. What does it mean that it's her mazel? It's her mazel to kill people? Why is this an important question? It's an important question because of the issue that we raised a few minutes ago. What about a man who has a history of killing his wives? I don't mean murdering his wives. I mean his wives dying. She'ela, this is the question that the Rosh was asked. In the Shut HaRosh, Shalas HaTshuvas HaRosh, Klal Nun Gimel, Simul Ches. Mishnas HaShtei Nashu, Mesu HaShtei En Min HaHarayon. Two married two women and they both die. Wow, same type of death in childbirth. Im Yesh Lach Rashu Katlan. Do we have to assume that he is a male killer, you know, spousal killer, or cause of spousal death? Not only is it two wives die, but they both died in the same type of death. Just like we say by a woman, if she married two men who die, we're not going to let her marry a third. So too, maybe if a man married two women and they died, especially from the same death, should we say the same thing? So first of all, the Rosh says something very interesting. The Rosh says, if this was true, Chazal would have mentioned it. Im isa demida zu noheges be'anashim ki be'nashim. If it applies equally to man, I efshar shelo dibru chacham b'zeh. Kevedet tzara chay and efshar. This is a thing that's very relevant to real life. They would have spoken about it. They wouldn't have just ignored this possibility. It must be, Ella, concludes the Rosh, it must be that the Chacham HaChacham understood that it only applies in one direction. Kimu lechach mi'atalmud, shemidah zu enu nahagas ela b'nashim. It only applies to women. Why? Okay, now let's analyze the two reasons that we saw in the Gemara. Explanation number one, the mayon goreim, meaning, what does it mean that mayon goreim, now we're seeing for the first time, somebody explain for real, is the word STD the right definition? Let's see right now. Mayon goreim, meaning, ha'isha hazos, Nishchas Mekora, Mekora means her reproductive area, her womb, is messed up, Umayana, Umachalish, Umemis, Kol Meshameshima, and she will kill anyone with whom she has relations. V'tam zelo shayach b'ish, tu tashmish yomis ha'isha, v'lo shayach b'ish tam d'mayan. This whole thing, again, Dr. Jarrett, not, what you mentioned, notwithstanding that STDs are much more probably spread from man to woman, we're not saying that the zera, so let's not use the word STD. There's something messed up with her reproductive system that anything that gets involved in it will be damned, will be ruined, will be sickened, will die. And that's that. The way the Gemara presents it, that the mayon is the problem, that womb, the woman's womb is the issue. So a man doesn't have a womb. So a man doesn't have a womb, so there's no womb to cause a problem. A man's womb doesn't have a womb. I mean, again, nowadays, in our, whatever, I won't go there, I'll stay out of politics. Men don't have wombs, let's make that clear. Women have wombs, and therefore the Gemara says that a womb causes the death, so the woman should be the problem as the killer. The man cannot be a killer because he doesn't have a womb, and the Gemara says the womb that kills. That's A. What about mazel? Rabosai, this is what we've been waiting for. What does the word mazel mean? What is this magical, superstitious, good luck, constellation, astrological thing called mazel, that she has a mazel to kill her husband. Let's see this now. What does mazel mean? Because if mazel is something astrological, well, she's in a mazel that kills her husbands, maybe he could give him the same mazel that kills his wives. Let's explain. V'chein na'am il'tam de'mazel garam nirli. De'ha isha mazala ra she'anasheha mesim. V'zdoriz etam, what does it mean? Let me explain. He's going to explain what this mazel thing is. Ki chai ha'adam uparnasasa toli b'mazel. What does mazel determine? Im nola b'shashi yeshlo yos ashir o ani. Mazel determines wealth. Some people, you can have lawyers who do fabulously well, lawyers who do very poorly. You could have doctors who do fabulously well, doctors who, you know, can't knock two nickels together. You could have any profession, somebody that's great in that profession, other people don't do well in that profession. What is it based on? Mazel. Mazel determines parnasa. And therefore, look at this. V'ha'isha kalua b'beisa. A woman is locked in her home. Women don't go to work. Women couldn't get jobs. V'eini yecholu lehisparnesai de'atzma imlo. Where did the women get their sustenance, their parnasa from? A husband whom had earned a living. Imlo sha'ba mefarnasa. And maybe, you know what it means that a woman's mazel caused her husband to die? It means that the woman, I'll say it outside, that maybe the Rush will say, that a woman's mazel was that she should be poor. And if a woman should be poor, then how is she going to be poor? Well, she doesn't go to work, so it's nothing to do with her job or not job. Her money comes from her husband. So if she's ordained from her mazel to be poor, then her husbands are going to die, so they won't be able to provide for her. That's what mazel means. Mazel means that it's been predetermined, there's a fatalistic predetermination that Hashem said this woman should be poor for the rest of her life. That means any husband who dies, who has a good living, who makes a normal living, is going to have to die to keep this mazel of this woman being maintaining a poor lifestyle. V'nigzar. Al isha zu she'amusu ba'aleha k'dei she'tichya kol yameha ba'oni v'ein mi she'farnasa. Oh, if that's the case, and here's the punchline, if that's the case, what about a man? Could we say about a man that there's a mazel, that he is a mazel, that he should not make money, and therefore his wife should die? Well, a man's parnasa does not depend on his wife. A wife's parnasa depends on her husband. Therefore, if she's in a mazel of being poor, her husband's going to have to die. But if a man's mazel is to be poor, that has nothing to do with his wife living or dying, because his parnasa doesn't emanate from his wife. V'tam zeh lo shayach be'ish. This whole svar doesn't apply to a man. And therefore, if the mazel determines that this woman should be poor, so her husband's going to have to die. But if Hashem declared before he was born that this man should be poor, that doesn't tell me anything about what should happen to his wife. His wife could live. He could have 10 wives. They could all live long lives. It doesn't make a difference because he's not getting money from her. I don't know, nowadays when people get married and all their parnasa comes from their wives, but instead of learning kolos, so that the husband wives support them, this whole setup might get mixed up. But let's avoid modern day situations like that. Accordingly, says the Rush, both reasons only apply in one direction. Mayan, he said, is a specific thing related to the woman's body, Mayan, and not to a man. Therefore, he won't be a katlan. Mazel also, that rationale, is also only for a woman whose mazel is to be poor, impoverished, and therefore we're worried that her husband has to die to keep her in her poor, impoverished state. But a husband doesn't apply to, because his wife living or dying has nothing to do with his financial status, his income. And therefore there's no such thing as a katlan. And that's how the Rush...
What apply to a woman who, say, has been divorced 2-3 times? She's in the same destitute status, but there's no problem marrying a woman who's been, unless there's a real problem with the woman that we can see why she got divorced. But Stamazai,
let's answer that. Let's deal with your question at the end of the Ramah. The Ramah raises your question. Okay.
And the Rosh is also a little confusing because he says it's not just wealth, but also Arach Yamim. So if his Arach Yamim is not dependent on her,
I don't think he meant that. I'm not sure, but look at the next paragraph. Look at the next paragraph. He's going to sort of relate to what you're saying. But I don't know if you really meant Arachiyam. I noticed that. I was hoping nobody would notice that. You did. I was hoping nobody would. But let's look at the Rashi adds a line.
You need to get through the rest of this year, so maybe I'll have to divert you on this. Okay.
No, it's an important point. But look what he said. He addresses it right now. Right in this next line, he addresses your point. Aval ein lefarish, don't say that the mazel means she's born in a mazel that she kills her husbands, which is what I think we were all assuming at the beginning of today's shir. That her mazel is that her husbands die. Don't say that. In which case, we could say the same thing for a man. A man's born in a mazel that his wives die. Don't say that. You know why? And this relates to what Yerod just asked. Because when the Gemara talks about mazel, the Gemara doesn't mention anything about husbands or wives dying when it talks about an individual's mazel. Oh, you're right. You look at the next line. When the Gemara talks about what's Tali and Mazel, it talks about Tipazu should be a Gibor, if I remember correctly. Tipazu should be an Ashir or an Ani. Should be a Chacham or a Tipesh maybe. And how long it would live. But there's no mention when Chazal deal with a baby, with at conception, this tipa is determined, this embryo is, the mazel is that it should be rich, it should be poor, it should live long life, it should live a short life, it should be a gibor, it should be intelligent. That's all that the mazel does. There's no such thing in our Talmud that says there's a mazel that it kills its spouses. There's no such thing like that. We have very defined categories for where mazel plays a role and where not, says the Rush. And therefore, if in our Talmud it says that mazel applies to, again, tipazu ye chacham, tipazu ye asher, tipazu ye will have arichas yamim, it doesn't apply it to the point of killing spouses. That's not in mazel. And therefore, the word mazel in our Gemara, in the context of katlanis, cannot mean that a woman has a mazel that her husbands die. And therefore, you obviously won't say that a man has a mazel that his wives die. And therefore, mazel has to be something in the other arena, in the parasha of Parnassa. And that's what the word mazel means. And since there's a difference sociologically between men and women, that men are the breadwinners for their wives, therefore, if a woman is in a mazel that she should be poor, her husband's going to have to die. And that is not true in the inverse.
Well, if a man is to live a long time and her mazel is going to be poor, he's not going to die. Right? All right, some other time.
Okay. So we just came out with the Rush.
Isn't there Gemara in Bava Metzia? I found the source. Nuntes says that having a wife is running wife is segula for panasa. So we're saying that a man maybe his mazel is to be poor if he's being very nice to his wife.
I don't recall that Gemara, but your question is a great question on this point. That if that's true, that would be a very strong question against this Rush. Yeah. Okay. We have to finish up, and I want to finish the sugya today. I want to just raise, we're not going to go through the whole Trumas Hadesha, but he asked a very simple question. How come we don't see people being careful about the halacha of Katlanis? It's a beautiful sugya. Gemara and Ksuvis, Machlokas Ramam Rush. But people aren't careful about it. Well, how come the community isn't careful about this halachical katlanis? So he quotes, the Trumas Hadeshim quotes an Or Zeruah, who says that the nature of this halacha is a little bit of an unusual halacha. Katlanis is an unusual halacha. And he quotes the Or Zeruah, and I don't think everyone holds like this Or Zeruah, but this is the Or Zeruah that he quotes. Hadika ba'inan hilchasek rebi l'shlishi. I'm sorry, Hadikav Ina, now which we established the halach is like Rebbe, that the third husband cannot marry her, Lashlishi lo tinase, lo la osra, lo la vadei chshasha, elo la safik chshasha. This whole din of don't marry the third husband, it's not a real isser. It's like a safik chshash, like it might be dangerous, stay away from something that's a might be question mark. So you see that the way the Or Zeruah sets up this din of katlanis is a suffix kind of din. It's a suffix kind of din. It's a different kind of din. It's not an isser. You know, you can't marry a mamzer. None of ifs, ands, or buts. A katlanis is like, maybe, there might be a danger, so avoid it. It's a very different type of isser. Okay. And therefore, if that's the nature of the question, of the issue, maybe we could apply the din of Shomer Psayim. That's what he says. Efshar dahani mili da'or zaru. Maybe this arzaru says that the whole question of katlanis, that people rely on that it's not a real isser, it's just a concern, it's a questionable, maybe danger, and therefore, people do stupid things, they rely on Shem Epsam Hashem, right? You go skiing? Skiing, people die from skiing, people break their bones from skiing, but we go skiing, why Shem Epsam Hashem? So if you go skiing, why can't you marry a katlanis? Oh, but wait a second. What happens if you're an ER doctor in Vail, Colorado? You're not a Pessy. If you're an ER doctor in Vail, Colorado, then you know exactly what skiing does because they come to your ER with their broken this and their concussions and everything else. You're not a Pessy. Could you go skiing if you're an ER doctor in Vail, Colorado? What happens if you're a Talmud Chacham when you learn Ksuvis? Will we still apply the rule of Shomer Psalm Hashem to someone who knows the Sugi of Katlanis? Tzarchin, Yishayach Lemimra High Time of Shomer Psalm Hashem, the Talmud Chacham, who knows this halacha? Okay, question. Let's now jump straight to the Shulchan Aruch. How do we pass in all these shailas? We're going to finish the sugya today, and we'll have our summer vacation. Isha Shaniseis Onis Arsa. L'shnei Anashim V'meisa Lo Tinas L'shlishi. Do you see what it said, that even if she's only had Erisin? What do you see the Shulchan Aruch is passing like? If the Shulchan Aruch is passing that even an Arusa doesn't can marry the third husband.
Nothing to do with a Mayan.
That means it has nothing to do with a Mayan. It does not have to do with her when anything that's sexually transmitted. Because the Erisin, nothing happened yet. Still, it's Aser. Why should Kvar Huchzika Lios Anashea Mason? Vimnises Lo Teitse. Oh, who's he paskening like? We had a machlokas. If she gets married, do you have to force the marriage apart? The Rosh said yes. Lo Teitse. Why? He's paskening like the Rambam. He's being makel, that if they got married, leave them happily married. Okay, we're going to skip the part of the ksuva. And now look at this incredible Ramah. Yesh omrim, tedavke mesil misas atzmim. Only if they died, I'll call it a natural death. Aval nera gechad mehen, omes badever. Let's say one of them was murdered, Rachman al-Tzlan, or died in a plague. Onaf of a mace, he fell off a roof. Eino klum. That sounds like it's a matter of what? That if he died a death from a disease, that sounds like it's from Mayan Gorim. Do you realize what just happened? That's against the first opinion. The first the line said, Nisarisa sounds like it's Mazel Gorim. Because if it's a Mayan, there is no Mayan, so an Arusa shouldn't be Asura. And here he says only if they died a medical death and not an accident. It sounds like it's not Mayan Garam, but it sounds like it's Mazel Garam. Okay. Let's look at one last point, which I think is the most Noge Halach L'maisa.
We don't say Mayan in Hasanah Taikya.
That's true. Look at this, Beis Shmuel. V'chein hu zaken. Oh. You remember that story that I told you of the guy who died when he was 85 and the next husband who died when he was 87 and the next husband who dies when he was 95? Is that a katlanis? V'chein hu zaken. If he died because of old age, lav katlanis he. Wow. Okay. Fine. Finally, let's finish off. Ramah says, Yesh omrim. What about a woman who got divorced twice? Do we say that she is a chazaka she's prone, she has a predisposition to divorce her husbands? We know people who are married on their third marriage after two divorces. Yesh omrim du'a din isha nishkash shnei ein lisosa. You shouldn't marry a woman who divorced two husbands. Aval yesh omrim, concludes the Ramah, that misa dafka. This whole sugi of katlan is only by misa, and v'cheinika, that's how we paskin, that it's only a din of Misa. And finally, let's conclude the sugya. Paskin's the end of the simen and sif tes, sif beis. E ish emesu shteina shav, eno mone atzma milisa. The din of katlanis is only a woman who kills her husbands, but not for a man whose wives died. And says the Beis Shmuel, even if the husband is married to seven women, one dies. Another wife, she dies. Another wife, she dies. Another wife, she dies. He's still not a katlan, as we saw on the Rush, because the svaras do not apply to a man, neither the svar of mazel, nor the svar of mayan. Rabosai, I want to thank you for joining us today. We just finished the simon from beginning to end.